Hello, NBC. Hello, NBC. This is Herb Plambeck. This is Herb Plambeck. The Jinx of Luxembourg, I guess. I'm going to try again. This recording will run between 9 and 10 minutes. I'm going to start in 1 minute. Going to start in 1 minute from now. In 45 seconds from now. In 30 seconds from now. Seconds from now. 0 WHO. This is Herb Plambeck with the Third Army, again speaking from somewhere along the Western Front. Much of these past 2 weeks found me in Germany. The rest of the time was spent in Luxembourg and in the Alsace-Lorraine area of France. Most of my work, of course, has been with our doughboys and tank men, now forcing their way farther and farther into Hitler's fortress. But while speeding from place to place in our jeep, I also took note of the farm picture. It must be recognized these observations are of a general nature, made as the jeep bounced along at a lively clip, often over roads and bridges just finished or under construction, always so rough that writing notes was impossible. Moreover, deafening bursts from our artillery some few miles away were a bit distracting at times. I hope, though, the farm impressions in this war zone will be of interest to listeners back home. I'll never forget my first few moments in Germany. On the road to Trier, ancient German city which fell recently, we crossed the Moselle over a newly built bridge near a quiet little town along the border in Luxembourg. Signs explaining that we were entering Germany and to be careful were hardly necessary. Everywhere there was wreckage and ruin, buildings, pillboxes, bridges, guns, tanks, theirs and ours, and everywhere evidence of the frantic attempt to keep us from entering the Reich. Minefields, barricades, barbed wires and foxholes, hastily built fortifications, tank traps, anything they could throw up. Scarcely a single wall is left standing in any of the buildings within view. Farmsteads are bomb-shattered. It's a convincing portrayal of the way the total war Nazi fanatics had willed on others was boomeranging in the most positive terms. I looked back for a moment at the village and was glad to note much of that peace-loving town in Luxembourg was still there. But just the same, many homes near the waterfront had felt the terror of enemy shelling and are still another memorial to Hitler's greed. But to get on with farm observations, in the Duchy of Luxembourg and in Alsace-Lorraine, where agriculture is an important industry, farming is decidedly on the old-fashioned side, just as it is most everywhere else in Europe. Farms appear to be small, with narrow strips of grain and plowland. The work is almost all done with one horse equipment and with oxen. Once in a great while, three horses are used, but not once have I seen a tractor. But while places are just too small for power machines, the horses they use are some of the finest I've seen anywhere. Most of them are Belgians, and every one a dandy. Cattle are virtually all of the dairy type, mostly Holsteins, with some red and whites and brindles of the Brandenburg and Westphalia breed. There are a few pigs here. All are white, and none of them ever get to sample that familiar Iowa delicacy, corn. Lots of geese and ducks, and they're constantly getting in the way of our jeeps and armored convoys. And of course, a duck doesn't hold up very well against one of our medium tanks. There's other poultry and rabbits to be seen, and some sheep. Farm families here, as in France and England, all live in little villages called dorps in this area. That accounts for the large number of places captured in a single day by our forces, even under heavy resistance. Often there are several of these communities in a very small area. It's difficult for your boys and your correspondent to get used to the farmstead set up here. Not only are the families all living close together, but the livestock is right in there with them, so to speak. Most buildings shelter the stock as well as the family, with not much more than a wall or a grain storage room between. Often there is a community watering trough right on Main Street, and that also seems to be where the barn refuse is placed. It is decidedly unsightly, to say the least. But while some things do not add up, other things are quaint and pretty. Pastures are green and fresh, and in wooded areas, the beaches have a spring-like sheen. Gardens, now being prepared, are neat as a pin. Lovely little yellow and lavender and blue flowers are in bloom. Farm work, now in progress, consists largely of plowing, all done with hand plows. Hauling and spreading of barn fertilizer is also being done, and so is wood cutting, grape pruning, and now and then the filling of a bomb crater. Many fields cannot be worked, either because they're being used as areas for our armor and troops, or because they have been hopelessly cut up in the recent campaign. Ruts a foot deep are a common sight. Trucks still get stuck in lowland areas. Then, too, many wrecked planes and boomed-out tanks, mostly German tankers, will prevent field work this year. And the many other fields where foxholes, dugouts, blasted pillboxes, wire barricades, and so forth make work impossible are too numerous to count. Worst of all, of course, are the mines left by the Nazis to plague Allied troops and farmers alike. As for Germany, in the sections I've been in, farming this year is a very uncertain matter. So far, I've seen only a small number of German farmers in their fields. Most of these were on the east side of the Siegfried Line and north of the Moselle, and a great many of them are using oxen and dilapidated equipment. Perhaps by late spring or early summer, some order will come out of the current chaos. So the wheat put in for Hitler last fall can be harvested for hungry people in this area. Maybe the grapes on steep hillsides along the Rhine and the Saar will be picked. But as far as early spring crops are concerned, where the guns are now firing and where our armies took over the past few weeks, there won't be much seeding done. There can't be. Bomb craters, shell-popped fields, smashed German guns, deep ruts left by our tanks, churned up Nazi assembly areas are the story everywhere. As for equipment, there just isn't much left to use in many places. I saw parts of a disc, a twisted harrow, pieces of a plow, gristmill, and grindstone all in one strange hodgepodge. As for the buildings in some German farm villages, no tornado or other expression of nature's wrath could ever wreak more complete havoc. Furniture is seen emerging from heaps of debris in the grain bins. There is little livestock to be seen in most areas. There is some, an occasional small herd of cows, a horse or an ox team, maybe a confused pig or two, and a few sheep or goats. Much dead stock is to be seen, though. Countless mines are everywhere. I was told in one area in Germany, only a few square kilometers in size, several thousand miles mines still hold farming back for a long time to come. The natives left have learned a terrible lesson about Nazi ideology. And those of us who have seen what war has done to both the guilty and the innocent in this part of the world find ourselves thanking God time and again that our own lands have been spared. And we find ourselves firmly resolving we must never, never let another war wreak similar destruction here or anywhere else. This is Herb Plambeck with the Third Army returning you to Des Moines.